he is alive.
He's alive.
And that he's got the answer to everything.
Right.
We appreciate all of you that are with us tonight. The Lord bless you for coming on this cold night. But it's warm in here, isn't it?
Amen.
Little boy got up to quote a scripture one time that said, many are called, but few are chosen. And he said, there's many cold and a few frozen.
Right.
I know of a church that was kind of dead the way Brother Rutledge was talking about. And one of the young preachers got up and said, he said, I'll tell you, the Bible said the dead in Christ is going to rise first. This church here is probably going to come out first. Well, we don't want to be that dead, do we? That's talking about being physically, not spiritually dead.
Amen.
Well, thank the Lord. Let's give the Lord another good hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Could we urge you also to be early to pray and find yourself a place in the prayer room or in the auditorium if you have to? And let's pray sometime before service. And those that will try their best to cooperate will say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We appreciate that. We appreciate our visitors tonight. Amen. From Brother Mansfield's church. And we got one here all the way from Glory. And without him, we couldn't have service, could
That's
we?
Right.
So we appreciate that tonight. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to a move of the Spirit of God. I believe in the Lord and in his word.
Sure.
And I believe God will honor his word. The Bible tells me in the second chapter of Hebrews, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense
of reward,
how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation.
Amen.
I don't intend to neglect it.
That's all right.
Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord.
By the Lord.
Now catch this. And was confirmed unto us.
Right.
By them that heard him. God also bearing them witness.
Right.
Both with signs and wonders.
Uh-huh.
And with divers miracles.
Right.
And gifts of the Holy Ghost. According to his own will.
Glory.
You know what I'm praying? Lord, come down here and confirm your word this week.
Hallelujah.
Work some signs and work some wonders and give us an apostolic revival. How about you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stand with me in the name of the Lord, if you will. Shake your neighbor's hand. Welcome him to the house of God.
Glad to have you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Now then, look at your neighbor and say, do you have your Bible tonight?
You have your Bible.
Yes, sir.
How long was the Bible?
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let the congregation say after me, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
All ye lands.
All ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come before his presence with singing.
Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
It is he that hath made us.
It is he that hath made us.
And not we ourselves.
And not we ourselves.
We are his people.
We are his people.
We are his people.
We are his people.
And the sheep of his pasture.
And the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Enter into his gates with
and into his courts with praise.
Into his courts with praise.
Be thankful unto him.
Be thankful unto him.
And bless his name.
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 Bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting.
His mercy is everlasting.
And his truth endureth.
And his truth endureth.
To all generations.
To all generations.
Let's give him thanks right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I believe that tonight.
Amen.
Psalms 100. Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me invite your attention tonight to the 14th chapter of the book of John. I will read in your hearing the first 6 verses. And then we wish to call your attention to the 10th chapter. Of the book of John, from which we will endeavor to minister tonight. Chapter 14 of the book of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My text tonight from John 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. We shall preach on the subject, I found the way. Pray with me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord.
Anoint him, Lord. Open our ears.
Upon the power and presence of the Holy Ghost, anoint your word tonight. Lord, deliver those tonight that are oppressed by Satan. Bless and magnify your name tonight. In the name of the Lord, we pray. And we'll praise you for it.
Amen.
You may be seated. When you sung your song tonight, I knew I had the text the Lord wanted. There are many I ams of Christ.
Right.
I never cease to marvel at the multiplicity of the multifaceted personality of my Jesus. We read 14:6 of John, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said at other times, 6:51 of John, I am the living bread.
Living bread.
Verse 48, I am that bread of life. 15:1 of John, he said, I am the true vine.
Right.
11:25 of John at Lazarus' tomb, he said, I'm the resurrection, and again, the life.
Uh-huh.
The life.
Right.
Of course, John the Baptist looked at him in 1:29 of John and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Right.
5 and verse 5 and 6 of Revelation calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the root of David. Jesus made an emphatic remark himself in Revelation 1 and 8. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, namely meaning I'm A and Z and everything in between.
Right.
The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Then in verse 17, John fell at his feet and said, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. Strengthened also by 22:12-13 of Revelation. Behold, I come quickly to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Right.
This goes on and on. But may I submit to you tonight that of all the avenues you wish to trod in this life, you better choose Jesus. All of the doorways you choose to go through, all of the nourishment you choose to receive, you better choose Jesus. We read in the Word of God in the 7th chapter of Matthew and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We read almost the heartbeat of Jesus in 11:28 of Matthew when he said, "Come unto me." Is this egotistical abnormity? Was Jesus freaked out on himself, as they say today? Why did he attract attention to himself? He didn't say, "Go to other places." He said, "Come unto me." In 7th chapter of John, in verse 37, he stood in the midst of a religious observance and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." He set himself up as the giver of life, the blesser of life, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, the healer of disease, the way maker, the blind eye opener, and the deaf ear unstopper, and the dead man raiser. So we read it tonight. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You that think it's hard to live for God, I got a verse for you. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have but little patience for those that say, 'I can't live it. It's too straight. It's too hard.'" Jesus said, "My yoke's easy and my burden is light." You've just never been introduced to the power and presence that my Jesus possesses. Hallelujah. Asserting this positive identity, Jesus in the 10th chapter of the book of John said these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now let's get this straight. Jesus is not a pushover. He makes statements that are true. And he said, if you don't come in by the door, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Oh, I pitched my mental tent on that verse many times. In this day of being easily lost in the shuffle, in this day of computer technology when you're but a number here and a number there, it's refreshing to know Jesus knows your name tonight. He said in Matthew 10 and 30, "The very hair on your head is numbered." I'm preaching a personal God that loves you tonight. And he can call you by your name, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and they follow him, and they follow him, and they follow him. I don't know how you feel about it, but when I hear the voice of God substantiated by the Word of God, I intend to follow that voice. I intend to obey what this Jesus had to say. Hallelujah. And they follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Let me tell you tonight, there are many voices in the world. Many voices clamoring for your attention, your money, clamoring for your attendance at their shrines. May I plead with you tonight, amidst the impotent voices of materialism, amidst the false gods of Philistia that the world tries to seduce you with, would you tonight listen to the voice of Jesus Christ? He will bless you. He will keep you. He will save you. He will deliver you. I say without fear of contradiction, He is the way. Not a way. Not a plan. Not just a God. Not just a church. Not just a name. But the way. The God, the name, His name is Jesus tonight. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am. You read that? There's no way around it. You got to go by Jesus. You got to come right through Him. There He stands tonight. If you're interested in eternal life, in heaven, in immortality with Christ, you got to come by Jesus tonight. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Many false prophets arose before Christ. Many have arisen since Him. There have been many religious systems hatched in the incubator of men's minds and ideas. We can believe anything we want to believe. You can go anywhere you want to go. But I'm here to tell you all that ever came before Jesus. Whether it was Mohammed, whether it was Buddha, whether it was any man anywhere, the Bible said they were thieves and robbers. I'm not stuck on myself, but I'm stuck on Jesus. I believe He is the answer. He is the way. He is the life. But the sheep did not hear them. I challenge you that attend school, you that hear the clamorous voices where you work, that vie for your attention, teaching false doctrines from other books that men say they have found that contradicts the Bible. I'm asking you in the name of God, you better take this verse and you better say, Jesus said, everybody that came before Him was a thief and a robber, but He came, hallelujah, as the door of the sheep. He asserts it again. I am the door. Right. How many times is it going to take for us to get it in our heads? I am the door. By me. By me. Right. By me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Right. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Right. Are you interested in being saved? Right. Then you got to come by Jesus. He is the door. By me, my name, my deity, my plan, my program, my word, my ministry, the way I say, regardless, even if it contradicts mama, father, if it contradicts a teacher at your school, if it contradicts your dead grandpa in the boneyard, Jesus said, you gotta come by me. You gotta come by me. Do you want truth tonight? Are you searching for the way out? I submit to you, I found the way. I found the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're preaching.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Surely you know he who eats the devil's corn will choke on his cob. Sure you know that if you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Surely you don't think you're exempt from Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Surely you understand me, the devil is a liar. Haven't you seen the finished product of the brewer's art? Young people, don't be dazzled by the billboard displays and the slick professional pictures in magazines that depict the smokers and the drinkers and the pill poppers are the people that's the happiest in this world. Don't swallow that damnable doctrine. The Bible said the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil will plunder your virtue. He'll kill your character. He will take away from you your good name, and he'll shuck you aside like a useless relic and find someone else to sing his song. But not so with Jesus. When the waymaker comes in, when the waymaker comes into the heart, he comes to bring life, and that more abundantly. I have found the way tonight in Jesus Christ. There's a pertinent scripture in John 8:44, where Jesus told the people, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. Let that sink in tonight. The devil is a liar and the father of it. But not so with Jesus. He'll help you pick up the pieces. He'll mend the broken heart, give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. You can trade him your dirty old sins, and he'll give you a robe of pure white. Oh, I'm telling you, he's come that you might have life. Oh, he's come that you might have it more abundantly. There's no need you living beneath your privilege. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. There's no need for you being without a shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. In the Bible, 1 Peter 5:4, it says so. 1 Peter 2:24 reiterates it almost, when it said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned, unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Sure, trouble will come, but I got a shepherd. Financial crises will come, but I got a shepherd. Sickness will come, but I got a shepherd. Sure, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will not be exempted from fearful hours, but he'll go with me. Sure, there'll be times when enemies will come past me, but he'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and I can have a camp meeting at work, a camp meeting at home, and the spirit of the jubilant Christ can reign in my heart, because he said, I'm your shepherd, and we return to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Hallelujah! Oh, God. I am the good shepherd. I've wondered many times this positive assertion by Christ. Isaiah in 40 and verse 11 said of God, he shall gather his flock like a shepherd. That beautiful saying of David in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then we read tonight in Psalms 100 and verse 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, not their pasture. And yet I read Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Well, Jesus, how can you say such a thing? Is this just a smart aleck remark that men are prone to make that cannot back it up? Oh, if I could take the time tonight to summon examples of sheep that have trusted themselves in his providential care, they would tell you he has never failed.
Never.
He will never let you down. And that this good shepherd of in John 10 and 11 is the same shepherd of Psalms 23:1 and 40:11 of Isaiah and 100 verse 3 of the book of Psalms. That The reason he could make these assertions is because he was God, and he possessed absolute power. As he said in 28:18 of Matthew, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And yet I read in Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, twice, ever heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You see, I'm not serving a powerless Christ. He has the power to deliver, the power to keep, and the power to preserve. I thank him for that tonight in Jesus' name. But notice, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I read in your hearing in verse 6 of John 14, no man cometh unto the Father by me, but by me. You're interested in meeting the Father? Well, you got to go by Jesus. He'll show you who the Father is. The Bible in John 14, 9, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus answered and said unto him, if I have been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And yet we read in the 50th chapter of John in verse number 27 that Jesus had said that now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They never saw but one at any time. Now, you might have myopic vision that causes you to see double, but not so with Jesus. He asserted who he was. One of his titles, called Isaiah 9:6, is the Everlasting Father. And Micah 5:2 asserts that this one to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I'm simply stating to you tonight, if you want to know who the Father is, Jesus will introduce you to him, and you will know who he is. Right. In fact, Jesus said in John 5:43, I'm come in my Father's name. He wears the name by inheritance, according to Hebrews 1:4. And if you want to know the Father's name, come to Jesus. He'll tell you all about it.
That's all right.
As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice.
Amen.
2,000 years has come and gone since Mount Calvary and Joseph of Arimathea's empty tomb. But the voice of Jesus is still talking tonight. Across the ages, it's still talking tonight. And you know what it's saying in Pine Bluff, Arkansas? It's saying there's going to be one fold, and there's going to be one shepherd. It's going to say we're going to belong to the same fold that Paul, Peter, and James, and John, and Matthew, and Mark, and Andrew, and Luke, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Timothy, and Titus, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and Simon Zelotes, and James the son of Alphaeus, all belong to Dorcas and Lydda, and etc. There is one fold and one shepherd. I say to tonight, we are part and parcel of the first generation apostolic church that was set up on the day of Pentecost. We've got the same shepherd. We've got the same voice. We got the same fold. We got the same name. We got the same doctrine. We got the same baptism. We belong to that tonight. 14:9 of Zechariah had already said, in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Not name two or name three, but his name one. I'm glad I know the name of my shepherd tonight. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. In this 17th and 18th verse lies one of the most profound statements of all history. Not only could he assert that he could die, we can do that, but he asserted that he possessed the power to pick up his life again. Now, who can do that but God? If you ever read Ecclesiastes 12:7, Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God's the giver of life. Amen. In fact, in him we live and move and have our being. Yet notice, Jesus said, no man taketh it from me. I resent these scallywags that say, well, Jesus had to die. He couldn't do anything else. Let's go with him in the garden. When he went a little further and fell on his face in the flesh, And he looked in that cup, and when he saw the crown of thorns and the nail-pierced hands and feet and the spear-riven side, and the traitor's kiss that stank like garbage on his cheek, the merciless steel fangs of Pilate's scourge was going to bite to the bare bone in his bare back. When Jesus saw that as flesh, he cringed. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But time and eternity was settled in the next phrase.
Hallelujah.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's where the battle was won, in Gethsemane's prayer room. Now they came for him. Judas led the crowd of soldiers and the servants of the priests. He kissed Jesus and identified him as the Messiah. And you know the story. Simon Peter took a sword, cut the servant of the high priest's ear off. Jesus just picked it up and put it back on.
Right.
And they were ready to defend him. But you remember what Jesus said in 26:53 of Matthew. He stood there in that garden with that big crowd of men around him, those uncouth Roman soldiers that life wasn't worth nothing to, and said, thinkest thou that I cannot presently pray to my Father, and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels? I can just say the word. In fact, if scales could have fallen from their eyes, they would have seen angels, as it were, straining at the leash. They would have seen the hosts of the battlements of glory just waiting to come and rescue him and carry him away. And he could have cast this sin-blasted planet behind his back, forgot us in the canyons of eternity, and created him a new world. But he wouldn't do it. But he reminded us and said, I can call for help. A legion in Roman days was high as 6,000. That means that... In the Roman days was high as 6,000. That means 72,000 angels, and multiplied by the destructive power of the one angel in 2 Kings 19 and 35, who in one night slew 185,000 Assyrians. 185,000 times 72,000 comes to 13,320,000,000 men. There's only over 4 billion living today. That's over four times or three times the amount of people living today. You're telling me he had to die? You're telling me the Roman soldiers made him go? No. He went to Calvary because he loved me. He went to Calvary because the power of his love was greater than the sufferings of his flesh. He went to Calvary because he wanted to redeem me. That's the reason I say he qualifies tonight to be the way.
Hallelujah.
There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil,
yeah,
and is mad, crazy. Why hear ye him? Now, this wasn't the first time. 7:20 of John, Jesus was called a devil. 8 and 48 and 51 of John, he was called a devil again.
Right.
Many places he was called many things. Tax dodger, 11:27 of Matthew. Could go on and say he was called a rabble-rouser, an insurrectionist, and there's many things he was called. They said, he hath the devil and is mad. Well, why do you want to listen to him? If you're one of these fancy minds that say Jesus is but a historical figure, like Michelangelo or Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, or Jesus was just a good man or maybe a prophet, and Mohammed is on equal footing with him, I've got something to tell you tonight. He did not possess a devil. The next verse tells us my sentiment. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? You see, Jesus taught, a house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Beelzebub be against himself, his kingdom would be divided. The devil never works against himself. He's got one up on some of us Pentecostals. If we could ever get as much unity as he's got, as much strength of purpose as he's got, as much grit and determination as he's got, brother, we'd have a revival. A devil will not heal your sickness. A devil will not solve your problems that you'll be saved. These are not the words of him that hath a devil.
Right.
And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not.
That's right.
I've already told you. Just what kind of a proof do you want tonight? There's people sitting in this building that you know whose lives have been changed. You knew what they were before they got in the church, and you know what they are now? Doesn't that mean something for you? Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Church, in this revival, let's hear the voice of our shepherd. If he calls you to repentance and renewing, if he calls you to a deeper walk, if he calls you to more prayer, if he calls you to a deeper consecration, let's hear his voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all.
Right.
And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Don't you know what that's saying? That means that pitiful little lame excuse you've used through the years, that you just can't live it, will not stand in the presence of God. There's no power, there's no habit can stop you from being a Christian. If you make up your mind, only you yourself and your will stands in the way between you and eternal life. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. This is preaching eternal security on a conditional basis. If you'll stay in the Father's hand, if you'll stay in the sheepfold, if you'll hear his voice, if you'll follow him, if you'll be what he wants you to be, let him be your shepherd. Let him be your door. Let him be your way. Let him be your truth. Let him be your life. Let him be your resurrection, Alpha, Omega. Let him be everything. Then there's no way the power of the world can pull you out of the church.
That's the truth.
8:35 of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep led to the slaughter. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As long as I'll live right and do right, I can stay in there. 1:10 of 2 Peter said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if, that's a conditional word, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 3:17 said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest being led away with the error of the wicked, ye fall from your own steadfastness. Don't that tell us something? 2 Peter 2:20 said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn again from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to his wallowing in a mire. Don't you get what that's saying? You don't have to backslide. You don't have to go back in the world. If you got a made up mind, you can stay in the Father's hand. If you got a made up mind, you can stay in the church. He said, I'm the way.
I'm the way. Hallelujah.
To get into the fold, the devil's got to come by Jesus. And he's whipped every devil come down the pike yet. And he's able for the rest of them. Everybody said, amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now then, he dropped a bombshell. Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready. Verse number 30. Let me get the continuity so you can know what he was trying to say. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, there's Jesus, the Son. Big Daddy's up in heaven. Two. Jesus looked at him and said, I and my Father are one.
What?
It didn't say one in unity. It didn't say one in purpose. It said one.
What?
See, they're one like a husband and wife when they get married, they're one. The Godhead's never been compared to a marriage. The church is with Christ, but not the Godhead. The Bible 2:20 in 1 John said, but ye have received an unction from the Holy One. Let me assert to you tonight positively, Jesus is no fluke of history. He's no flake, as some of you call people. He's no crazy man. He is God, manifest in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1 and verse 2 said the same was in the beginning with God. And you read in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. What? The Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. That's what it said. And one of the titles of Jesus was Matthew 1:23, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is just some joker that came out of the caves of the wild, which being interpreted is just some good fella that showed us how to lay a track better and how to put a better poultice on a sore, or maybe just a better engineer or a better astrologer. No. He is called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I submit to you that Jesus is not only the Lamb, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, but he is the high priest that offered the Lamb. Hebrews 3:1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. I assert to you, he's not only the high priest, he's the altar on which the Lamb was laid. Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have an altar. Now I'm going to assert a little further. He was not only the altar, but he was the veil that was rent. The veil was his flesh that was rent on the cross of Calvary, thus signifying and that the way into the Holy of Holies was made for everybody. Let me go a little further. He was not only the offering in Ephesians 5:2, but he is the offerer. The one that makes the offering. Hallelujah. And this can go on and on. I'm not on the Godhead tonight, but just take it what he said. I and the Father are one.
Right. Glory.
That blowed their mind. Uh-huh. As long as he heals, all right, but when he got on the deity, that was too bad.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not. Uh-huh. We're not stoning you because you healed blind Bartimaeus, uh-huh, raised Lazarus from the dead, right, walked on the water, healed the leper in Matthew 8:2, the centurion servant in Matthew 8:10, the two blind men, the Syrophoenician's woman's daughter, Matthew 15:28, and on, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Now that's what he said. What are you going to make him in your life? Man or God? What are you going to make him in your life? Man or God? What are you going to make him in your soul? Man or God? What are you going to make him in your church? Man or God? What are you going to make him where you work? Man or God? What are you going to make him where you live and where you do things around in the world? Man or God? I say Jesus is my God. He is the way, the only way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus answered them, it is written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If ye called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I'm the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Oh, what a powerful statement.
Thank God.
I won't take the time. Show me what God, the so-called Father of the first person of the mythical Trinity, did in the Old Testament. He fed the children of Israel 40 years in manna, didn't he? Well, Jesus did the same thing. He just took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 hungry men.
Amen.
Oh, you see, the Lord God Almighty opened the Red Sea and Israel walked through dry shod. But I remember Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. The disciples got all upset, shook him up and said, you don't care, we perish. He didn't get up and do nothing but rebuke the waves and the wind. On and on and on. We could compare everything the Father did, he did. Why? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works I'm pleading with you tonight. You cannot just sit there and not make a decision, son. Listen to me, young lady. There comes a time when Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He's got to be the way. You can't clutter up your pathway of life with anything else. Be what it may, he's got to be the way. You've got to sweep away the debris, anything that clutters and encumbers up the path. You've got to acknowledge Jesus, you are the way, and accept him for that, and believe him for that. If you won't accept his word, believe his works. I know what the Lord's done for me. Believe not my words, he said, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. How could you ever get two persons out of that? I'm in my Father and he's in me. I and my Father are one. 14:10 of John said, the Father dwelleth in the Son. Jesus said, the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So the Father is in the Son. Not the Father was the Son, but the Father is in the Son. Hallelujah. And so he said, I'm in my Father and ye in the Now, if he's a separate person, why don't he have a spirit? The Bible said there is one body and one spirit. 4:4 of the book of Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, now the Lord is that spirit. Is that spirit. Is that spirit. Is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you know what Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:5 said? Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Jesus is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, it's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Colossians 1:27, in fact, it's called Christ is in you and your hearts by faith. In 3:17 of Ephesians. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 5. 13:5 said, Jesus Christ is in you. What am I saying tonight? I'm not preaching a dead historical figure that slumbers in a tomb. But in this 20th century, he's still the way. He's still the way. He's still the way. Let's praise him for that right now.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen.
Therefore, they sought again to take him. But you know what? They couldn't take him. He's delivered out of their hands. Went again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, you know what they talked about? They began to think about John. You know, said, John spake of this man, you know. Said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. You know one thing John spoke about this man? You can read it when you go home. In John 1:15, John spoke of this Jesus by saying, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Jesus was born 6 months after John, and John yet said he was before me. And the Bible said John spake of this. John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And it's still true tonight. It's still true tonight. And many believed on him there. Would you believe tonight? I'm glad I've accepted what he said as the gospel truth. Let's stand and exalt his name. Hallelujah.